This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We're getting an outline today on how the Trump administration would like to change the tax system. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It has been a whirlwind of a week at the White House, with the Trump administration moving to log accomplishments ahead of the president's 100th day in office on Saturday. Among the items on the agenda today, the rollout of the president's plan to reform the tax code. For more on this, I'm joined from our Washington Bureau by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams. What kinds of details can we expect from the White House today on cutting business taxes?
Well, like you said, David, it's probably going to be a broad blueprint with a couple of big themes from the campaign trail. Look for lower corporate tax rates, especially for owner-operated businesses. Those include small businesses like mom-and-pop stores or bigger businesses like the president's real estate company. We'll probably also see some kind of tax break for childcare costs like the president's daughter encouraged on the campaign trail. And we'll probably also see a readjustment of income tax brackets for individuals, with the top tax rate dropping there as well.
What about corporate tax rates? What do we know?
So according to multiple reports, that tax rate is going to drop by a lot. Corporate income tax down from 35% to 15%, and the rate on what are called pass-through businesses, many of those owner-operated that I mentioned earlier, from almost 40% down to 15%. Martin Sullivan is chief economist at Tax Analysts, and he says those rate cuts could do two things.
One thing is it would increase economic growth modestly. And it would also reduce the amount of tax planning where multinational corporations are shifting profits out of the United States. So both of those effects would offset the direct revenue loss from the rate cut.
But he says not even close to completely offset those losses.
All right, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams. It's worth a reminder that tax cuts and broader tax reform are two different things. The last real pass at tax reform in the U.S. was back in 1986 in the Reagan era. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more on why reform is such a tough row to hoe.
Back in 1986, the top Billboard song was by Dionne Warwick.
That's what friends are for.
Tax reform in theory has friends who hate each other. But in 1986, Democrats and Republicans were vaguely on the same page.
Democrats and Republicans agreed that we needed fewer loopholes and lower rates.
Joe Thorndike is director of the Tax History Project at Tax Analysts.
And that agenda had been developed in a bipartisan way for decades, literally.
Even then, tax reform in 86 was almost a fluke. Dan Shaviro would know. He worked on the reform as a legislative attorney.
It was kind of a long shot. I really think it almost fell apart numerous times.
The problem, then and now, is that true tax reform, as opposed to a simple tax cut, involves trade-offs. Give one person a tax cut here, take away someone else's loophole there.
Who are they going to make pay more? Guess what? Those people are going to complain.
Taxpayers, from importers to homeowners, may all disagree over their pet loopholes. And these days, Republicans themselves don't agree on what tax reform really means. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
New Marketplace Edison Research poll we commissioned finds economic anxiety is down since the presidential election. And this scientific poll finds that 3/4 of respondents are fearful they won't be able to afford the medical services they need. At the same time, there are some state lawmakers who want people on Medicaid to be more concerned about health care costs. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looks at the effort to get low-income Americans to pay more for their care.
Blue states and red states are perpetually worried about Medicaid spending. One fix, particularly popular in the red states, is the old skin-in-the-game solution. Orrin Cass is with the right-leaning Manhattan Institute.
When you go to the doctor, when you go to the hospital, that's costing a lot of people a lot of money, and that should be a factor in your decision-making.
The theory, the more your own cash is at risk, the more careful you'll be with that cash. Historically, Medicaid co-pays have been low, a buck or two. Starting under the Obama administration, a few states like Iowa, Michigan, and Indiana imposed higher co-pays and monthly premiums on the Medicaid recipients higher up the income scale. But now, with President Trump in office, the state of Wisconsin is pushing a radical proposal, says Kevin Kane of Citizen Action of Wisconsin.
Increase the monthly premiums that people pay as much as $10 more a month. And if you fail to do that, you can find yourself kicked off the program. But even if you pay all your premiums, there's a time limit on how long you can be on it, 48 months over your lifetime.
So now, Governor Scott Walker is waiting on federal health officials to sign off. The question, how would it impact people in Wisconsin?
Just like another punch in the gut.
Michelle Mick is 45 and lives outside Milwaukee. After two bouts with breast cancer, Mick suffers from migraines and fatigue, and those cost her two full-time jobs. Now she's working part-time as a saleswoman, earning about $1,000 a month. Mick doubts forcing her to pony up more of her own money will improve her fiscal or her financial health.
For me, it would just be, you know, adding to the credit card in hopes of getting to the point where I'm going to be able to pay things off. It's stressful when you're dealing with health issues and then you throw in financial concerns. I mean, financial issues are stressful.
Mick gets that conservatives want to make sure people don't carelessly use Medicaid resources. She says she's not going on any kind of healthcare shopping sprees. She's just trying to get herself well enough to get back to work and get off Medicaid. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And should internet providers be allowed to favor their business partners with premium service? The Obama administration pushed against this with so-called network neutrality rules. Consumer advocates and others worry about a second-class status on the internet for those without the financial clout to buy in. There's news that the new FCC chairman could start the process of pulling back from the neutrality rules as early as today. Internet companies are lobbying hard for this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.